Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us all here together. It's so delightful to see so many folks here. And just thank you for your protection over us and for your graciousness and your mercy in allowing us to be here today. What you did to make it all possible. As we open your word today, Lord, pray that you open our hearts. And as we do more than that, as we set our faces toward the mission that you've given us, as we determine to further the mission, to spread the message that Jesus Christ is the only solution to what we're facing. Show us how. Show us what we need to be doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot, you can't miss what's going on right now. Even as we gather today, that my driver was telling me, well, they're gathering again to protest. And this all goes back, of course, unless you've been in a hole or in a hospital or something for the past couple of weeks, this all goes back to an incident where a man named George Floyd was arrested in Minneapolis and was essentially killed by the arresting officer. And I thought, okay, if I'm going to talk about this, I'm probably going to know what I'm talking about. So I watched as best I'm able the video that was available, read up on what happened. And the truth is that there are no circumstances under which that could be justified.
Amen.
Whatever the man did, whoever the man was, that was not a justifiable action.
That's amen. That's amen. True.
And I don't really believe that anybody would have, there's not really been any significant argument against that. We all saw that, we know it's wrong. But by the next day, the protests began. And it was sort of an official kickoff at about 5 o'clock the next day. And it didn't take long for the protests to escalate into rioting and violence. By the next day, they had spread to other cities across the nation, along with the rioting and the looting. And that's not okay either.
No.
These people who have been harmed by all this activity, they had nothing to do with what happened.
Amen.
And often the people who are being harmed are in the same class with the people who claim they're writing on their behalf. How does that work? It breaks my heart to see what's happening. And those people, there have been at least 5 other people that have died as a result of the violence. Did their lives matter? But this is a symptom of something deeper. It's happened before, and it'll happen again unless something changes. Everybody's got an opinion on what the problems are. There are competing answers, and it almost seems to split the country down the middle. Half the people saying that our system is broken, that our system is racist, that we have to make reparations in some way, that the actions that have been taken are justified by the injustice, that everyone deserves to be provided for, and society must be completely overhauled in order to make it right. Well, they're probably right about that. I'm not sure about the direction, though. On the other side, you have the other half of the saying, well, 2 wrongs don't make a right. That people are responsible for their actions. That If you'll just provide the opportunities and let people be free, they'll go ahead and thrive. But our problems come from things like broken families and broken morality. Each of the sides can lay claim to at least a kernel of truth. There is no question that minorities do suffer from injustices of the past. Racism does exist. How great a part it plays in our day-to-day life today, we can argue about, but nobody denies that it exists. Government attempts to fix things haven't worked. A lot of people are in the same place they were before, or worse. Research has shown that there are negative effects of the broken families that have resulted from many of the policies that have been carried out. But you know, if we could fix all of that, none of this is going to solve our problems. We can have laws, we can have surveillance that can control the behavior. We can live in a police state and have everything controlled, and probably you'd have a lot less of this kind of thing, but you can't fix the human heart that way. Mm-hmm. Human solutions, so far as they are compatible with God's plan, may have some positive effects, but it'll never be able to address the heart problem. Politicians, pundits, and even preachers all vie for our attention, telling us they know how to fix it. They tell us what's wrong and how to fix it. And even churches now have gotten into the act and are taking sides. But there's only one solution. Only Jesus can remove the bitterness from our hearts and teach us how to forgive each other. Only Jesus can move us to love our neighbors as ourselves, like He told us to.
Amen.
Only Jesus can teach us to love even those who are truly our enemies. There's an internet meme that's been floating around. I know a couple of people here have shared it. But it states it very well. It says the problem is skin and sin, not skin. The answer is grace, not race.
Amen.
Jesus died for all. Our nation needs Jesus.
Amen.
I was thinking about all of this, thinking that as a pastor I have some obligation to speak to it, and I'm like, Lord, what in the world can I say that hasn't already been said? Do I really want to join this argument? But then He brought to my mind this the passage that I'm going to read here today from Paul as he's writing to the Corinthian church. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the start with verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not of persuasive words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God.
Amen.
This is part of a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He addressed a number of problems. He starts out by addressing some divisions that had happened in the church where they divided up into factions behind the various leaders that had taken some part in the formation of the church. And he's teaching humility back in chapter 1. And he says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Amen.
And he reminds us that godly wisdom, true wisdom, is going to sound like foolishness to the world anyway. And I'm not going to go and read it, but if you look at James, you'll see in chapter 3, starting verse 13, how he contrasts the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. But he says basically that he did not flaunt his wisdom. He could have. He was a very smart man. He had been raised under one of the, he'd been raised up in Jerusalem under one of the most respected Pharisees of the day, by the name of Gamaliel. And you see him show up in Acts in a couple of different places. And he had knowledge of Greek culture and custom. It comes out in Acts chapter 17 as he's speaking to the people in Athens there. He would have been able to argue from Scripture and from philosophy for the existence of God and for the necessity of Jesus, but he would have missed the point. Or he would have bypassed his audience, is a better way to say that. There's room for all of that. It's all important. But he chose instead to stay on message. And the message is who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Christ and him crucified. Those are the only things that matter. He says in verse 3, I was with you in fear and trembling. Now, there are other passages in which he writes that suggest that maybe he did not have an overwhelming presence, that his physical presence was not particularly impressive. And almost everywhere he's been up to this point, people have come after him. The persecution has at times been violent. He's been beaten, he's been thrown in jail. Everything else. But it could also be, and this is what the commentary suggests, that he simply realizes the importance of the task that he's been given. Christ and him crucified. And why is this? Why has he chosen to do it this way? Because it's not supposed to be about him. Chapter 1, he's just been talking about, hey, you know, quit dividing up under people. It's all about Jesus. It's not supposed to be about, I'm not supposed to be drawing attention to myself.
Amen.
Salvation is a work of the Spirit. It's possible that other signs may have followed him. There certainly were other instances in Scripture where we see that in Paul's ministry, but that wasn't a prominent feature of his ministry. Paul was all about sharing the gospel. He says, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So what we, taking that into our modern day and thinking about our churches, thinking about our governments, you know, I can tell you some things right now that won't work. If our laws allowed us I don't want to put it that way. If our laws allowed us the option of bringing this man out that did this for a public execution tomorrow, Yeah, it would make some people feel better for a while. It might even inhibit future incidents like this from happening, but it wouldn't heal the hatred. It would only feed it. Justice does need to be served, but it's not going to fix the problem. We could go out, and you're seeing some of this, we could go out and we could put down the riots and we could lock everybody up, including the instigators, and it might make us feel a little safer. And, you know, we could hope that it might make other, you know, people reconsider doing that kind of thing in the future, but it's not going to cure the misunderstandings. And it's not going to ease the pain. It should be done, but it won't solve the problem. We can talk about long-term solutions. We can talk about better ways of training the police officers. We can talk about better methods. We can talk about tighter surveillance. We can talk about swift and severe punishment when people get out of line. We can talk about dialogue in the communities, and some of that's good. We could talk about quote-unquote social justice, but none of that heals the heart. And we could talk and talk and talk and talk, just like me up here. We could talk and talk. We've already shot each other down. Whatever good ideas there might be in the middle of it, nobody can hear it. Because everybody's yelling. Nobody can hear it for all the noise. Too many of us, what we're really doing is just trying to be heard and recognized for what we know or what we think. You know, a little humility might be in order because we don't have the answers within ourselves. But we do, as Christians, have the answer. The answer is Jesus.
Amen.
Only He has the power to regenerate the human heart. When we begin with Jesus, you know what? The rest of this will start to work itself out. Mm-hmm. We can consider the details once Jesus is in His proper place. And Paul will go on to teach on deeper matters. But as the church in America, speak more broadly than I can speak to us, as a church really in the world, we have this mission to preach the gospel. And we do a lot of other good things as He directs us. Our church in particular has a ministry to people with disabilities, and we do things that are oriented toward that, but we never lose sight. We cannot lose sight of the message. Everything that we're doing should come to one ultimate purpose: to bring people into His kingdom. The objective is winning the soul. We can't get distracted by the methods and lose the message. So I want to do something a little bit different today. I kept it a little bit shorter today, and I guess that's good because we ran long in some other areas anyway. But we're still doing pretty good. But I want to do something a little bit different today. Ordinarily, we would have a prayer time together. And, you know, I'd come down, and certainly if somebody would like some prayer, you know, catch me, catch somebody else before we clear out of here, we want to make sure everybody has whatever ministry they need. But I want to do something a little different today. I would like for us as a church to pray for our city and pray for our nation.
Amen.
And pray for God to show us how we are to be a part of the solution. And I would like for, I'm going to pray for these, for four things basically. For peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. For unity. Not only within our nation, but also within our churches. God said we would be known as His disciples by our love for each other. For revival. What is revival? We talk about somebody being revived. What it's if they were passed out, they were unconscious, maybe they were even dead, but they were revived. That word means to bring back life.
Yes.
And so we pray for a restoration of life. And finally, for our part in it. We represent Him in this world. That means we have something that we need to be doing. So I would like to start by praying, and then I would like to give leave space, and we can go ahead and leave the camera running. I don't know how well it's going to pick everybody up. But I'm going to pray, and then I would like to leave space for other people as you feel led by the Spirit to pray for these things that we've outlined. And then when it looks like we're done, Priscilla, I'd like for you to cap it off. Because I know your heart's in the right place. Okay. Lord, thank you once again for your grace, for your mercy toward us. You have done so much for this country. You've done so much for us. We've made our mistakes, and we are suffering from the consequences of some of the mistakes that we have made. But yet, you have been so good to us from our foundation forward. And we thank you for that which we have enjoyed, for the peace, for the prosperity that we've enjoyed. Lord, I pray now for peace among us, that we would learn to see each other, not for what we look like on the outside, but for who we are. Precious children of God, precious people created uniquely, each one of us by you, and each of us desired by you to be a part of your family. Each of us special in our own way, because you made us, because you created us, because you have a purpose for each of our lives. Lord, show us as a church how to be peacemakers. Mm-hmm. How to be a part of bringing that about. Show us how to work together in unity across denominational lines, across racial lines, across economic lines, to be the one people that you intended us to be. To be finally and truly a one nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Lord, for that to happen, we know what's necessary. What's necessary is for your Holy Spirit to come, to fill us all, to bring revival, to bring life. And you are the author of life. Lord, come. Make your presence known. Let us see. Let us see you working among us. Let us respond to the pull of your Holy Spirit to do the things that you've called us to do. Show us our part, Lord. We know you've given us some very specific things as an individual church. Lord, I pray for us as the corporate church across this nation that you would show us what's important and what isn't. And that you would help us to come back to a place where we are saying Jesus is the only answer.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Children, Lord, I just pray right now that in your word that we read in Sunday school, that it says that in Philippians 4:7, it says that peace, your peace surpasses all understanding, Father God. We just ask for a heart transplant right now in this nation, Father God, that you put this nation together as you have it to be, Father. We just ask that every Christian, everyone that believes in you, Father God, that they get down on their knees and that they pray to you, Father God, that you will restore this country, that we will keep your name in the churches and in schools, and that we will pray over our food, and we'll pray in public, and that we'll give you all the glory, Father God, that you will straighten out all this anger and violence that's going on, Lord, that you will put in the hearts of those that are over us, Father God, that you will prick their hearts, Father God, and that you will have them make the right decision and the right laws and whatever needs to happen, Father God, that this nation will be placed back into your hands where it belongs. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for these two that have prayed, and I'm in agreeing with them. Thank you. I've had a struggle today, Lord. I'm sorry. Father, thank you for our nation. Thank you that we are free, that we can come to this church. Father, we should be ashamed sometimes of not wanting to come to church, to learn more about you, to be with you. Lord, we as Christians need to get in our Bibles and be more intimate with you. Let it start with our houses, Lord. May we pray over our houses, even with oil. Everything that's spoken that is evil, bad, that comes against you, Lord, I pray that we would anoint our thresholds and anoint our rooms and just have your angels surround us, Father, to watch over us, to protect us. Father, may people just learn to love one another. We have such high standards for so many people. And yes, the police do have their higher standards. But because of these four, Lord, I pray that disrespect will not come to the police and that they would be harmed. Lord, there's always evil where there is good. But you are good, God. You're a good God. None of this is coming as a surprise to you. You love us. May we start loving one another just in this church body. Lord, just help us to accept one another and to know that it's okay to be different, that we have different views, we have different attitudes, we have different personalities. Lord, help us that we're all the same. Father, help us to love each other right where we are, because you do that with us every day. Every day I sin, and you still say, come unto me, Priscilla, I love you. God, I love the agape love you have. May you bring the nation back to you, Father. Whatever is to come, I just thank you that Jesus is coming, that one day everyone will have to meet that judgment. Father, bless this body right here today, please. Make a difference in us that we can go out and make a difference in other people's lives. Help us to extend our kindness, our smiles, whatever it is, help us just to love one another. Put that in our hearts, Father. We have hearts today that are full of anger and bitterness, and against things that were in our past. Lord, may the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and take away all the pain, Father. Replace it with love and joy and peace. Thank you for our pastor, Lord. He works a full-time job. He takes care of his wife, and he still has to do church work. And I am so sorry that he's overburdened at many times. But give him rest, Father. Help him to find that rest and that peace that only you can give him. Give him strength and motivation to want to bring us the word. Father, help him not to be discouraged by anything that any of us would say or make him feel differently. Thank you that you placed him in our lives at the right start. I know it was sad losing David, but I love Larry Thacker. So thank you so much for the Thackers and all they do every week for us, printing out bulletins, doing Braille, calling people, visiting people. Father, thank you for that sweetness and kindness. Father, thank you for the ones that are here today. Just help us to love and accept each other. I love Dee Dee. I love Anita. And yes, Lord, our skin is different. I love Clark. But because of what you did for me, you saved my life. I can love skin. I can love each and every person in here. And I love you, and I pray you give us the grace and mercy that we don't deserve. We do not deserve it, Lord. But thank you, Jesus Christ, that you had to suffer a little bit longer because of my foolishness in so many ways. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live in us. I pray that you would wake us up in the middle of the night. Have us pray for people. Wake us up. Tell people about Jesus. Lord, please bring us back to your house. Bring us back to your peace. As we give you the glory and the honor. Be with peace. I love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.